Bible. Take a Bible. You're going to need one today. I know that sounds crazy. You came to church, of course you're going to need a Bible. But today, we're going to do some Bible drills because you're going to be looking in the old, you're going to be looking in the new, you're going to be looking in the middle somewhere too. And we're going to have some fun today. I try to use a lot of scripture because, not because it's just church, just because nothing I say has any value. It's what God says that matters. So what does the book say? I mean, and you're going to get sick of hearing me say that over the next 50 years of my ministry is what does the book actually say? And let's get back to what the book says. And let's not be spiritual people. Let's be scriptural people. And I'm telling you, that's where the promises are. It's where the blessings are. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter number 12 as we start our new sermon series this week called Thriving in Faith. Thriving in Faith. We're going to look at the life of Abraham and going to have some fun with it. And if you found Genesis chapter 12, please say amen. Amen. I'll read the odd numbers out loud and you'll read the evens. Here we go. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you today thanking you, O God, for your blessing, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the word of God that it is true from the beginning and how every one of your righteous judgments endureth forever. I'm so thankful that I have your word. I'm thankful, Father, that I have your grace and your promises. And Father, today, if there's one among us or on campus or even on social media watching live that does not know you as their Savior, has never called upon you, may they trust you today. In faith, having repented of their sins, receive Jesus as their Savior. But as us, your children, Father, we recognize it's a walk. It's a walk of faith now that we're saved. It's taking you at your word and trusting. Father, teach us what faith is. Let it grow. Let it flourish. And let our lives be a testimony of your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27, I got an interesting verse here that just really hit me like a hammer, and I want you to see it. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 27, that's the first book of the New Testament. If you found it, would you say amen? Look what it says here. And whosoever will be chief among you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And they're wondering who's going to be the boss. You know what I mean? I mean, being his disciple, if he's the King of Kings, and he is, and he's going to bring the earthly kingdom like he said he was, and he's going to, it doesn't put them in a bad position now, does it? And so they're like, anybody that's going to be chief, look what it says here. Let him be your servant. For us to be great, for us to be elevated, we are to serve. We're to be a servant or a blessing to others, is what Jesus says. And that's the paradoxical thing about Christianity, is that we rise by kneeling and that we live by dying. And we're elevated by serving others. Jesus said to seek true greatness was to be great in faith, because your faith, your great faith will be a blessing to others. See, when you become a servant to others, you're filled with faith. When you're thinking of Abraham, he is the actual father of faith. I love that's the phrase we get when we look in Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 11. You're there in Matthew. Go to Romans chapter 4 and verse number 11. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 11. Listen to what the Bible reads here. The Bible reads here in chapter 4 and verse number 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. He is the father of them that believe. Now, the name Abraham is like the shining star in the Hebrew sky. He is the famous one for Jews, but he's also the famous person for Islam. He's the famous person for Christianity. We all know his name. And what was Abram's claim to fame? What made him great? And it was his faith. It was his faith. It wasn't anything God saw in him that merited God to choose him. As you read through the genealogies of the Bible, that part you fall asleep on mostly when you're trying to go to sleep. Hey, listen, if somebody you love can't sleep, give them the genealogies in Genesis. But in the genealogies, what you find is that four generations after Noah, everybody turned back to paganism. Everybody wanted to be their own God. Everybody had quit worshiping. Now there was Job, who lived at the time of Abram's father. Pardon me. But the truth is God chose Abram and to make of him a nation. But I can't find anything in Scripture that says that he was more worthy than you or I, that he was anything great, but that God chose him. And when you look at Romans 4 and verse 11, it says that he would be the father of all them that believe. So I call him the father of faith. Before we can thrive in faith, before we can walk as Christians in faith and have our lives be a living and shining example of Jesus Christ, we got to know what faith is. We got to understand how faith works. We got to understand it from the bedrock, which was Abram. Go back to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. Now look, we're going to break this verse down a little bit here. I find that I get more out of the Scripture when I slow down and I read it a little at a time, because each one of these words is power-packed. One of the things, and I mentioned this in Sunday school, one of the great things that last Sunday night during Brother Jim's class, Brother Tottingham was teaching, he said, you know, the Bible was translated, and the Bible is sacred language. We shouldn't find it strange that the words of the Bible are not words you use in every common day language, because these are sacred. It should not surprise you that your street language, let alone your Twitter feed, would use sacred language. Why? It's just common language. It's what we do for a common everyday thing. But we're not talking about something common, are we, when we talk about God? So whenever you find someone translating the Greek and the Hebrew into another language, you're going to find in that language, it's choosing the sacred words, the words that isn't commonplace, that you're not going to hear on the job, you won't find in email. It'll be using words that are special. Now the Lord said unto Abram, now the neat thing is, God changed his name later. Abram is just starting out right now. If you remember, God changed Jacob's name when Jacob had been running from God and wrestling with God. When he finally submitted to God and God's promises, God changed his name to Israel. Gave him a new identity. God is going to give him a new identity here in chapter 15 and 16. And we'll get to that next week. It's just cool stuff. But I want to start at the bedrock. And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee. Do you see that? And make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing. This is the greatness that God was talking about. The greatness is when we are able to be a blessing to other people. We're talking about thriving in faith. And Abram is just starting off. He's just getting his first taste of it. God has come to him to speak to him and to promise him something and to offer him a blessing. We're talking about God doing something great. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. If we were to enter into what others have called the school of faith, the textbook's going to be Hebrews 11. And the dean of the faculty will be Abraham. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews is all the way in the back of the book. It's easy to find. It's one of the bigger books in the back. Before you get to Revelation, go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Now, follow along with me. Don't take my word for it. Look at what it actually says. And let God speak to you rather than me do. In Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 8, if you found it, say amen. Amen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builders and maker is God. Our life day by day is the classroom of faith, where we learn faith. But the funny thing is, our faith limits what God does. You know, God is omnipotent. One of the cool things about language is, if we didn't have a being that is all powerful, we would have never created the word omnipotent or omnipotent. Just do a little study of language. How many words have you think we've created in the last 5 years? I remember, I predate the internet, so all those words were never in my vocabulary as a kid. I tweet and text and post and this and that and, you know, whatever. How many words have we added to the language in the last year? But we have a being that we do not understand, but we accept the fact that he's all powerful. And let me tell you something, any being that claims to be God that you can wrap your noggin around is not God at all, because he won't fit in my 3-pound brain. He's bigger than I am. He's more infinite, and I am finite. But the fact that he exists, and we had the only thing we could come up with to try to describe him is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent. We would have not created those words or conceived of them had we not had a being that forced us to do so. See, faith, our faith, is the only thing that limits the omnipotent God. Take your Bible. You think I'm crazy? Look at this. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. Look what it says. Verse 27, and Jesus departed thence, and two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. My God is able. Do you understand that? My God is able. My God is willing. But if I tell him no, it's like I turn the gas off. He's not going to force himself on me. He's not going to force me to do anything against my will. He may change my circumstances to make me willing to go, but he ain't going to force himself. You must understand that our faith is what shuts down the power of God. Not because we're more powerful than him, but because he chose to limit himself. You say, I don't quite understand. Well, let me make it simple. If you did not have the ability to say no, you came pre-programmed only with the answer of yes, would your yes really be yes? No, it's just programming. You know, when you go home and shake the Tickle Me Elmo doll, it doesn't actually love you. The kids are downstairs, I can say that, they can't hear me, but that machine was created and programmed to say those things, right? So the ability to say no means your yes is valid. Your ability to say, I believe, Lord, is predicated on your ability to say, no, thank you. I don't need you. I'll do it myself. So when you say, I believe, based on the fact that you could say, uh-uh, that makes your faith real. To thrive in faith means that we are to take God at his word. We thrive in faith because we are choosing. And it says here, according to your faith, be it unto you. Not according to how you feel. You know, there's days when I don't feel real Christian-y. How about you? It's not according to your fame and whether you've achieved a certain level of whatever in life. That's not how your faith works. Your faith isn't, it's not according to your fortune and how much money you've got. And it's just according to your faith in God. Do you know that everything worth having, every reason worth living for, everything worth knowing is wrapped up in faith? Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It's so important that we understand what faith is. Now, you're all thinking Hebrews, well, I know what faith is, Brother Mix. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, you keep that in your mind as we go through these other verses, and it'll make sense. Look at Romans chapter number 5. You need to be saved by faith. It says here in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you need faith to overcome the world. Take your Bible, go to 1 John chapter 5, all the way in the back. All the way in the back before you get to the book of Revelation, you find number 1 John. Stay with me now. Don't take my word for it. Look it up yourself. These are verses that'll bless your soul. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. If you need to get your phone out and follow along quicker, that I understand, but I like paper. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, you need faith to be saved. You need faith to overcome the world. You need faith to have your prayers answered. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Mark 11, verse 24. Now you're wishing you got the Bible with the tabs, didn't you? Huh? You'll get used to it. You will, or look on your phone. But listen, Mark 11, look what it says. Mark 11 and verse 24, the Bible says in Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Pray and believe and you'll receive. Pray in doubt and you'll do without. Did you catch that? Pray and believe and you will receive. But if you pray in doubt, you'll do without. Because our faith is the only thing that limits God. You want victory over the devil? Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, where ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What is it? In the kingdom of heaven, what is it that you want or need? What is it that you think that God can empower you to do? The exchange is faith. Look at Matthew chapter, well, I'll quote it to you. Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. But we're really going to see how faith works. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12 and verse 1. This is the root. You're going to see the root of Abram's faith, the root of our faith. And that is the revelation of God. Look what it says. Now the Lord said unto Abram, God spoke first. Do you understand that? God took the initiative when it came to having a relationship with us. You say, no, 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 preacher. I went looking for God. No. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. You say, I was looking. No, God put that burden in you. Because God wanted to have a relationship with you. God is the great initiator. Gentlemen, that's why God said in Ephesians 5, we're to love our wives. Do you know that women are not commanded to love their husbands? Did you catch that, ladies? Anybody check that out? Y'all check that out. Why is that? Because they already do. They're made to love. They ooze with love. Guys, we are commanded to love. We are commanded to take the initiative. Can I get an amen from the ladies in the room today? Woo, am I in the wrong church today or what happened? Come on now. We are to take the initiative. Why? Because we are the picture of Christ in this relationship. We are to take the initiative. We are to love our wives selflessly. We are to step out and take the first move every single time. Because you know why? That's what God does. That's what God does. God made the first move and kept making the first move. In the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse number 19. If you want to follow along, I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 19. Let me get there real quick. And it says, Romans 1 and verse number 19. The Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. All faith is a response of trust in what God has said, in what God has revealed to us. Unless God speaks, there's no faith. For faith is taking God at His word. That's what faith is. Faith is hearing God talk and me going, yes, That's true. I believe it. I believe. It says in Romans 10:17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Lord had said to Abram, and God, when he spoke, God gave Abram a word. And that was the root of Abram's faith. The Lord said it to him, and Abram's faith was in response to God's word. He did not go to Canaan to find God. God had already found him in the Ur of the Chaldees. God was already there. God was already speaking. And so when Abram exercised faith, what he was doing was, I am taking God at his word. I'm just going to believe what he said. And I want you to understand, it says in Genesis 12:1, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto land which I shall show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4, so, because of what happened in verse 1, 2, and 3, so Abraham departed. He pulled up stakes and he went. That's faith. Now, there's three things I want you to understand that faith is not rooted in. Faith is not rooted in human will. You don't understand what I'm saying? This is not something Abraham cooked up. I'm sure he had a lot of his family had a lot of questions, because he had parents, he had cousins and uncles and friends, and they're like, dude, you're 75 years old. Where are you going? Kind of established here, aren't you? Got your career, looking at retirement. I'm going to go to Canaan. Why? Because God told me to. I'm sure he had a lot of questions. He had to give a lot of answers because people didn't hear God's voice. He did. God spoke. He just responded. That's faith. See, human will was seen in Genesis 11. Take your Bible and look at Genesis 11. What you're going to find is, you're going to find one of the biggest fiascos in the Bible. It's called the Tower of Babel. I call it the high rise to hell. But the truth is, it's a tower of blunders. It's a monumental failure of human will. They were trying to make a name for themselves. Look at Genesis 11:4. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, and lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. Four times they say, let us, let us, let us, let us. Now, that's not how God works. Our faith is not built upon the let us's of man's human will. It's built on the I wills of God's promises. Our faith is rooted upon God's I wills. Those promises he gives in Genesis 12. Look at it. Genesis 12 and verse number 1 through 3. You see four times in response to their four let us's, God says, I will. Look at Genesis 12. He says in verse 1, I will show thee. Verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless thee and bless them that bless thee. The difference between us, man says, let us. But our faith is rooted not in human will, nor is it rooted in human works. Take your Bible, look at Genesis 11 and verse 31. And Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Did you know that Abram was living in the center of idolatry worldwide? This was like the place to be. And Abram was a pagan. God did not choose Abram for what he was. God chose Abram for what God knew he could make out of him. Because in later chapters, Jesus is there and he turns to the two angels and said, will I not tell Abram what I'm going to do? Because I know that he'll command his family after him. He'll follow me. He'll believe me. He'll do as I say. He will act in faith. And there was nothing in Abram that would have caused God to call him. And God chose. Take your Bible, look at Romans 4. Romans 4 again. Look at Romans 4. Our faith is not founded not upon human will, nor upon the works that we do in the flesh. Our faith is not dependent upon us, our desires, or the things we do. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's an accounting term. That means it was reckoned. The balance sheet was reckoned. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And unfortunately, some people think that their walk with God is a credit and debit system. An eternal balance sheet in the heavens that will one day be rectified, and one day, you know, hopefully we'll have enough credit. But that's not how that works. God rectified the balance sheet at Calvary. God rectified it and brought the balance of debt to zero. There's no debt. If you had to work for your salvation, God would owe you. Look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted, there's that word, for righteousness. Abraham was a pagan. There was nothing good about him. Yet his faith counted for righteousness. Did you know that he was 75 years old? You know what's really cool about this idea is there's nobody who's gone too far that can't be saved. There's nobody who's too old. There's nobody who's just in too far into paganism that cannot be reached by Jesus Christ. If they'll just have faith and take God at his word, it doesn't matter how old they are, doesn't matter how settled in their ways they are, doesn't matter the fact that this is where they've always lived, and this is how they've always done, and this is their tradition, does not matter. Abram was 75 when God called him. That means before that, Abram bowed before pagan idols. There's nobody too bad that cannot be saved. There's no one that's too late that cannot be saved. Let me tell you, dear friend, your faith is not founded in human will or human works. It's founded upon the I wills, promises of God, and the grace of God, not works. Nor is it found in human wisdom. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Look what it says. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I shall show thee of. That just doesn't make sense. You know, faith is not figuring it out. I'm sure at this time, he's 75, he's got things pretty figured out. He's got his life pretty well kind of pushed around to where he wants it. He knows where he wants his sheep. He knows where he wants his house. He knows how he gets things done. If you've got a 75-year-old in your life, do you know what I'm talking about? You move their stuff, they know it. They can't find it. If it's a snake, it bit him, but it's not where they put it. He had it all figured out, and God still called him. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not following a hunch. Faith is not hoping for the best. Faith is not feeling optimistic. Faith is none of these things. Faith is laying aside our intellectual pride and saying, God, just show me. I believe. Just show me. Show me what you can do. I don't know, Lord, so just show me. Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should hereafter receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whether he went. So faith is not rooted in human will. Faith is not rooted in human works. Faith is not rooted in human wisdom. Faith is rooted in the very word of God. That's the bedrock of your faith. He spoke, we believed. That's faith. That's the evidence of things hoped for, or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing God. Unless God speaks, you can't believe. But God has spoken. So we have not only the root of Abraham's faith, the bedrock of it was his belief. Number two, you have the requirement of Abraham's faith, which is obedience. Go back to Genesis 12 and verse number 4. God told him to get going in verse number one. Get thee out of the country from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I shall show thee. He didn't say, I'll make thee until he obeyed. He didn't say, I'll do it and then you can obey and things like that. No, it says in verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Faith is belief with legs. That's really what it is. It's the difference between belief and faith. The difference is knowing God the difference is belief with legs. That's what faith is. It's not just some pie in the sky or just something we believe. A man once stretched a cable across the Niagara Falls. and he walked across that cable, and everybody cheered. He turned around, and he walked back, and everybody cheered. He got him a wheelbarrow, put it on there, and he walked across, and everybody cheered. And then he walked back, and everybody cheered. Oh, man, what a day that was. The cameras were flashing, and he said, "Do you believe that I can do this again?" And they're like, "Yeah, do it, do it. Who wants to get in a wheelbarrow?" You see the difference? There's some folks who come to Christ, but it's on their terms. They want it their way, with strings attached, provisos and addendums and fine print, that God has to somehow do thus and so, then I'll be a Christian. No, that's not how that works. That's not how that works at all. You wonder why people come to Christ but don't ever follow through. Because until you get in the wheelbarrow, because the guy in the wheelbarrow has no ability to save himself. He's totally relying on the other person who his faith is in. When did you get in the wheelbarrow? You heard the gospel multiple times. I know I did. I refused it multiple times. But on October 9th, 1990, at 9 o'clock, I gave up on the rope. I gave up on the cable. I gave up on me and the wheelbarrow. I just got in. And only God is just God. Do you understand that faith is rooted on God's word, but the requirement of faith is obedience? I'm not saying you work your way to heaven. I'm not saying that at all. But when Abraham believed, he obeyed. See, we like to have provisos. We like to have addendums. We like to have loopholes. We like to have things where we can kind of wiggle and decide what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. If you know these things, you're happy, it says. In John 14, 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." The requirement of faith is to obey. Faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. That's superstition. No, faith is believing in spite of the circumstances. Faith is believing in spite of the circumstances you're in. God doesn't give any of us ask any of us to believe without evidence. It's so incredible. When Stephen was standing in front of the Sanhedrin and he was preaching about their heritage, it said, "And God revealed his glory to Abraham." It just wasn't some voice because he had too much pizza the night before. It wasn't some voice because somebody mixed in the wrong mushrooms. He saw the glory of God. Acts 2:7. "And the glory of God appeared unto our father Abram." It wasn't chapter 2. Excuse me. It's when later on. But verse 7 of that chapter, God spoke to him and God gave him evidence. Blind faith is not faith at all. The Bible never asks us to just believe without reason. Faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of the circumstances. Whatever God says, I will do. When you begin to live that way, that's when your faith's going to take off. The root of faith is the revelation of God's word. The requirement of faith is obedience. And in this case, it was separation. Look at chapter 12 again in verse 1. "Get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house." Here was a man living in idolatry. Here was a man that God was going to bring out of all of that. And in Deuteronomy 6:23, God said the same thing to Moses, and he brought them out from thence. Real faith is not simply being dead to the world, but alive unto God. And God just said, "Look, I want you to separate yourself from all this, and I want you to believe me, and I want you to go." And Abram says, "I'll go." And he does it. And he separates himself. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest there be any of you have an evil heart of unbelief." Your lack of faith comes out of your head. It's a fact that we rationalize this or that. We pro and con it to death instead of just saying, "Yes, Lord," and taking it for what it says. You know, it's not really an intellectual problem, it's a moral problem. God built you. God made you to believe in him. When your heart's right, you respond in faith. Unbelief doesn't come out of the head or the hand. It comes out of our heart. And it says, beware lest any of you having an evil heart of unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing that we are so compassed about a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. And let us run with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, there are things in our life that we have rationalized, that we've brought along with us, that are hindering our obedience. And God is saying, you need to set those things apart, Abram. Your bedrock of your faith is my word. The requirement of your faith is obedience. But I want you to understand that the reward of your faith is the ability to appropriate the promises of God. Look at Genesis 12 and verse 2 again. It says, get thee out of thy country and out of thy kindred and from thy father's house unto land that I'll show thee. Did he give him the land? Yes, he did indeed. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. Did God do that? Indeed he did. And then he says here, and I will bless thee. Did God bless him? Yes, God blessed him. But that's only half of it. He says, I will make thy name great. Do you see that in the next verse? It says here, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Did you know God put you in that home where you live? In that family that you have? God put you in that workplace. God put you, if you're a child, you're in that school. Maybe you're an adult and you're in school. God put you in that school. God put you in that study group. God put you in that community. God put you in this place. Why? To be a blessing. But you will not be a blessing until you take God at his word and obey. Until you step out and say, yes, I will do. Because you said, and you'll be a blessing. That's how God reaches and does the work he wants to do. It's through people. Do you want to be great? Do you dare to be great? God puts you there to be a blessing. Do you see yourself as a pipeline of God's blessing or just a reservoir? So many of us want to be a reservoir. We just want to bring it in and keep it. But that's not what God puts you there for. God puts you there to be a blessing, a pipeline. He gives to you. He gives the blessing to you. Why? So that you can be a blessing to others. Think how God blessed Abraham. He blessed his nation. He became the father of the Jewish nation. And we got prophets. We got the word of God through Abram and his descendants. He's been a blessing to all the face of the earth because he was obedient. He was a blessing. So the route of faith is the word of God. The requirement of faith is obedience. The reward of faith is the blessing that he is through us. I'm from Illinois up north, and we'd have root cellars, and that's where the old folks would can food and put them away. Back when my grandparents and them didn't have refrigerators, they had a cellar. And on this particular farm, they had a cellar that just had a door. There were no steps. You had to use a ladder to get down. And one day, a little girl was walking by, and she saw the door was open, and she leaned over, and she looked down in that hole, and she said, is there anybody down there? And it was her daddy. And he says, yes, honey, it's me. She goes, is that you, daddy? He goes, yes, it's me, honey. Daddy, I want to come down there. Well, I've taken the ladder away. Why don't you jump? And she goes, daddy, I can't see you. Yes, but I can see you. Daddy, I can't see you. Honey, do you believe I'm strong enough? Yes. Have I ever lied to you? No. Do you believe I can do this? Yes. Then jump. I'll catch you. I can't imagine being 75, having my life the way I want it, and then all of a sudden, well, I guess I can put myself in Abram's place. And God says, listen, I'm making you a promise. All I'm asking you to do is step out, and I'll catch you. That's the bedrock of faith. Is that how you got saved? Is that how you got saved? Did you take God at His word that you're a sinner? Did you agree with Him? Did you condemn yourself by saying, I am a sinner? I am deserving of your punishment. Do you take God at His word? Number two, did you turn from your sin? Did you repent? Did you turn from your sin to God and said, I believe? Or was it, well, I'll come, but I'm not getting rid of this. Well, I'll come. I just need you to shut my wife up. I mean, I'll come, but I just need you to get my in-laws off my back. I mean, I'll come, but don't ask me to do anything there. Yeah, yeah. Then you're Christian in name only. For God said, the requirement of faith is to obey. It says in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 8, just one last time, my friends, listen to what it says. By faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive as an inheritance, obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This is the invitation portion of our service. The word of God has been preached, and right now you're going to have an opportunity to respond to God's word. You've read something in Scripture. Everybody bow their head. I'm going to pray for you. Everybody's had a chance to look at the Scripture. Everybody's had a chance to listen for the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're here today and not been saved, you don't remember. You're wondering, am I saved? I don't know that I've done this. I obey. He just wants you to turn to Him and repent and believe. To them giveth thee the power to become. To many as received Him, gave He power to become the sons of God. Christian, you're here today and you're saved, and you know what? You remember when you got in the wheelbarrow. You remember when you jumped and God caught you. You remember that. But somehow recently you've put strings, provisos, addendums, conditions upon your relationship. And it's time we stepped out by faith in obedience, relinquishing that foolishness and saying, God, it's just founded upon Your word. I will obey. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, God, that You would speak to every heart and every soul. I pray, Father, today that no matter the condition, that You would reign supreme, that You would have Your will done in each and every life, including my own. Right now, I give You permission. Speak as only You can. Now, Father, as You have spoken to each heart, I pray, God, that they and I will obey. Give them the courage to just obey. In Jesus' name, amen. As she plays and sings, the altar's open. It's time to do business with God, brothers and sisters. It's time to come and speak to Him. Won't you come? It's time to leave Haran and step out.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find Your mercy.
How about you?
Sinner, come near.
When did you get saved?
Earth has no sorrow.
How did you get saved? I mean, you were there.
Earth,
do you remember?
Has no sorrow.
What is your faith in?
That heaven can't heal.
What is your faith in? Is it in your baptism? Faith
lay
is not in the works of man. Is your faith in your traditions at your church? Faith is not in human wisdom or tradition. That's not what faith is based on. Did you ever read the scripture that says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Have you done that? Have you just taken God at His word and called upon Him? Repenting by turning from your sin, admitting it to God, and agreeing with God and begging and just saying, God, I'm sorry. Have you done that?
Lay down your heart. Come as you are.
We've got a nice baptistry, but that don't save you.
Come as you are.
Lord's Supper service is beautiful, but that won't save you.
There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed.
Christian, God's asking you to make a decision.
Sit at the table, come taste the grace.
Others are watching.
There's rest for the weary.
He wants to use you where you are as a blessing.
Earth has no sorrow that heaven
until you obey in faith.
So lay down your burdens. Lay down your shame.
You're saved. If you've never been scripturally baptized by immersion,
all who
come.
Are broken,
let's step out by faith and obey the scripture. Matthew 28,
lift up your
verse 20. Come on,
face.
Let's just obey. Acts 2:41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. Come, present yourself. Let's obey God.
You're not too
You've been saved. You've been scripturally baptized in a Baptist church. Have you joined this one? Let's obey God. Let's be added unto the church. Let's come. We'll take members however we can. Say, I'm not sure my baptism is right. Well, come on. Let's get it done. Let's obey. God put you there for a reason.
There's joy for the morning. Oh, sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden.
There's still time for you. You've not gone too far.
Lay down your shame.
You've not gone too far that God can't.
And all who are broken, lift up
your face. Not going to heaven because your daddy's saved. Not going to heaven because your mama's saved.
Wanderer, come home.
You're not going to receive the blessings of God, Christian, because of your family's belief. It's going to be yours.
So lay down your hurt. Lay down your heart.
Our Father and our God, we love you, and I'm thankful for the bedrock of faith. I'm thankful for the testimony of Abraham. 3,600 years, and he's still speaking. Thank you, God. Thank you for letting us have this in our language that we may understand it and apply it. Thank you. Now, Father, as we go from this place, it's all for naught if we don't allow you to be a blessing through us. Remind us, O God, speak through us. Reach out to others through us. Let us comfort others and encourage others in faith. Bless as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way tonight.